So it's going to be the last show of Netflix is the problem.
I feel like it has to be.
I don't know.
They're going to do the finale in, like, movie theaters at, like, the stroke of midnight of the new year.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Stranger Things is crazy.
It's
going to be the last one.
It's funny because my mom is watching it upstairs right now, and so I've been getting, like, snippets and sneak peeks of it. I never committed to watching it. And it looks pretty good. I can see why people like it.
So
it's intriguing enough.
I'm not going to say it's, like, amazing or anything, but in terms of, is it entertaining? Is it engaging? Is it shot really well? Are all the set pieces really good? All the costumes really good? Yes, all of that.
Shouldn't be outraged to hear it's popular.
Yeah. If you don't like it, don't watch it. But if you watch it, chances are you'll think it's at least decent.
Yeah.
You know?
It's one of the best things to come out of Netflix.
Because after it, like, took off, then it's like, well, they have,
they have unlimited
resources. Yeah. So if you're, all that shit I just said, basically about how amazing it looks, like, first season, I don't know how much of that was, like, how much money they had, how much, you know, extra time they were putting into shit, but it's just like, later, it was just like, we have everything.
Money is no object.
Yeah.
But the Duffer brothers, the directors slash writers of the whole little series, they will forever be the Stranger Things guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what else they create. They will always be the Stranger
Things guys. They'll never climb out from under that shadow.
That is, I mean, as far as a bad place to be. That's the price
of, like, this like, meteoric success.
Yeah, that's the price of success.
Yeah. You're going to be those guys forever now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Like it or not, yeah.
But, like, I mean, a new season of The Witcher was on Netflix.
Ooh.
Which has been one of their largest fucking shows since Stranger Things. And let me tell you, I'm probably informing you for the first time that that new season happened.
You know, I'm not sure if I brought this up on the podcast before, but my gripe with The Witcher is the gripe I have with a lot of IPs, where I'm not sure where they're finding these folks. And this might be a grave insult. I might be getting flamed for this later. I don't care. But my consensus about what happened with The Witcher, why Cavill left, is because I don't want to watch your fan fiction. Whoever's writing this, it's you don't respect the source material. You want to make it about what you think would be cool. I don't give a shit what you think would be cool. I give a shit what the author thinks would be cool. You should use his notes. If you're not going to use his notes, then don't fucking write it.
Or at least use his, like, concepts.
Yeah.
I don't care about your fan fiction. I don't care about your ideas. Your ideas were within the scope of the author's ideas, sure. Like, to me, it speaks more of a writer's ability to work within the constraints of a prompt than someone who can purely make up shit.
Right. They weren't hired to do their separate different thing. And the audience is promised by extension to do an adaptation of this thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, you do have to change some things to fit the format, but the changes that would need to happen to fit the format aren't the changes that we gripe about.
Yeah, maybe I'm being ignorant here, but yeah, I feel like
first season, pretty damn spot on.
I liked it.
I liked it. Everyone did.
It's like, I haven't finished the Witcher series. I've read five of them, I think. But the first season, pretty damn close to how that goes down. And then, like, second season is where it starts to be like, okay, what are we doing? We're not off the tracks yet, but it's like,
which is interesting.
One wheels is keeps going.
I only got to the first two seasons. I fizzled out of the second one. I was like, I'm not feeling this anymore.
And then by third season, it's just like, we're just doing whatever.
Yeah.
they're just making shit up. Which, you know, say what you want about Henry Cavill. If you don't like him, I think he's fine. He's a real ass nerd. And he was like,
I love him. He's actually my champion.
This series, and I wanted to do this series.
Like a real one. Like a real one. He walked out. I love him. Love it. Love the integrity. Love it.
We could spend hours sucking off our Lord and Savior, Henry Cavill. But who we and no one else will is the Hemsworth brother, who is currently Geralt of Rivia, who I haven't seen a photograph of him as Geralt of Rivia yet. And normally, like, this nerdy things, we get, like, sneak previews and screen tests.
He looks like great value fucking Henry Cavill Geralt.
Like, in my head, him showing up, it has like the feeling of like an SNL sketch where they like the guests of the night at SNL are the actual actresses around him, and then they couldn't get Cavill, so they're like, let's get one of our comedy guys in there, and they just put him out there.
Which that's so fucking mean.
I mean, I don't have like a particular opinion.
It's me, Geralt of Rivia.
I don't really have strong opinions about him, that Hemsworth, yeah. Either way, but...
Which is a great sign about your leading man.
It is.
God bless.
It's just, like, I'm sorry, he doesn't have... I'm sure he's, like, fit or something, but Cavill's fucking...
Jacked! Yeah, like, dude! That's a man's man. That's a hunk. That's a stud right there.
Yeah, like,
the other guy holy just, shit.
He just doesn't, like, sell it for me. Like, I look, I don't know. Like, I took a glance, and I was just like, you don't slay monsters. you're cosplaying right now. Whereas, like...
I gotta see him. I literally haven't seen him as oh, no.
It's him in a wig. That's basically it.
It looks like a porn parody of...
It's bad. That's great value. Henry Cavill Geralt. I wasn't kidding.
He just comes back 75 pounds lighter and 15 years younger with different colored eyes.
Take a peek at that time.
It's a porn parody. Yeah, dude, he's
look
like...
Look at him.
Oh, man.
Damn. It's not convincing.
It's me, Geralt. Good Lord.
Okay, we were talking about this the other day. One of the other most egregious, like, it's me moments I've seen in recent media. Well, not even recent. This was a while ago. Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
The actor. Rhodey. Yeah, Rhodey that plays Rhodey. They change into Don Cheadle. And, like, the camera, like, is following him entering into, like, the courtroom to go to testify against Tony Stark. And it, like, starts on his shoes, and, like, the camera slowly pans up toward, up his back as he steps into the room. And then you see that he's shades darker than he usually was, and it's Don Cheadle. And the camera, his face turns to Robert Downey Jr., and he says, "It's me, Tony, it's me." And it's like, okay, all right, man, all right.
I'm Rhodey now, and the sooner we all get used to it, the better.
And he's like, it's me, get used to it, I think he says, or get over it. He says get over it.
He's talking to the audience.
Yeah, he's literally telling the audience, "Hey guys, it's me. Get over it." And yeah, I feel like that.
At least that's honest. You know?
Yeah,
it's fun.
I have no idea how they also justify it. Like, no way. Like, it's just like the season opens up, and Geralt is a different person.
Yeah, I don't know.
He must get bitten by like a shapeshifter snake who like lowers your like celebrity by one grade. You can't let it bite you, Siri. You have such a promising career ahead of you.
Oh, man.
I remember fighting something like that. Fights like fishmen, fights like a wolf guy. Well, he doesn't fight that guy. He actually has like dinner with him.
Dinner with a wolf man, fighting a fish guy. These are all ways that Geralt of Rivia could now be played by a different man.
What did you mean by Stranger Things? It'd be the last one, the last Netflix show.
No one gives a fuck about anything else on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I like the animated short shows.
Squid Game, sort of.
I don't follow those. I can't comment.
Squid Game season
but
one.
But people do seem to like it.
Squid Game season one did numbers. I don't know that season two did very well.
Two was okay. It was. It also just like ends abruptly, and then it's like, you know, part two coming. Like, I don't know if it came out already. I haven't watched it if it has, but it was fine. Not as good as season one though.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, unfortunately, they kind of already shot their wad of the concept of the show.
Yeah, it's a lot of shock value going on. You can't ride that forever.
It's just
there's a reason that like the next Hunger Games movies to justify it need like they escalate what the Hunger Games mean.
Yeah,
you have to. Unfortunately for this, the rich perverts that fund it are just rich perverts. There's no greater like level to it. So like he can continue on in that world, but at what point does it stop being the Squid Games show if there are no Squid Games?
Yeah, it kind of like turns into like a whole.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoilers if you care. Like a rebellion type thing.
Exactly.
Because the dude like purposely goes back, and then he's like, all the other people like don't know. He's like trying to tell them, like, you know, give them basically make sure as many people can survive as possible. And at first, no one believes them, but then people start dying. There is one character who's really fucking good in season two, Thanos. Who's
big purple guy. I've seen him in other things. I like him.
He's like just like tall, like skinny Korean dude. Oh, okay. And he was in the show. He was like a rapper. A YouTube rapper.
Oh, so like his rapper name is Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos. Okay. The Great Thanos. And then he randomly breaks into like English while doing like a weird, I don't know what you call that, like beatbox voice, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
But he has like a little cross thing, and he smuggled in like drugs in there, and it's some sort of vague. It's like a pill.
It's drugs. And don't worry about.
He literally tells some other guy like, "This is some new shit. Like you wouldn't handle it. You wouldn't be able to handle it."
This is from Batman Beyond. You wouldn't understand.
It's you know,
Tums too.
It's Chemical X or whatever. Fuck. And so he's popping these like the entire time. And so he's just high as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's
super
really,
soldiering his way through the games.
And he's just like, people are like dying and everything, and he's just like dancing and shit.
Can't see me.
That's awesome. My favorite bit was they take votes to whether to continue the games or not or whatever.
Right.
And you walk up and you press a button, yes or no.
Yeah.
Or it's an action or no, whatever. And then his thing, when he's going up, he's still high as fuck, he's, like, skipping, and then he, like, presses it with his forehead. It's
Chadley.
It's so good.
Chadley.
I don't know why everybody else is having such a bad time. This has been fun games. Just high. My goodness. I bet there's... Korea, I think, is one of the countries that has, like, a pretty strict regulation on, like, how you can portray drugs.
I believe so.
That might have something to do with why he just does nebulously... the newest drugs to come out of the science market.
Probably. They're like the closest to being like the America of Asia, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works.
But they're still like super strict about some stuff. Like
there's a lot of censorship very, very interesting in East Asia.
It's kind of weird. But I don't know much about it.
But speaking of things like drugs, which give you superpowers.
Good time.
We're talking about One Piece again.
And with that, welcome back to Strider's Room. I am your host, Fanfare.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mario.
And today we're going to talk about some more One Piece.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reach, but...
Sorry, we got really caught up on that whole Netflix thing for a second there.
Yeah.
We have strong opinions both ways about a lot of the shows.
All right, but where we last left off in One Piece, we're leaving Whiskey Peak. We have gotten onto the Grand Line, and at this point, I want to say that what we're doing writing ways. I'll get this out of the way before I start talking about plot stuff. He's like expanding on what the power system is. This first like couple sections of the Grand Line. Because at first there were only like two Devil Fruit guys, and then there's also Fishmen, and we get introduced to a lot of concepts, but now going into this is where we start to like allow them to have some depth.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, you get like little snippets of stuff, but by and large, at this point, it's your general idea is probably like you eat a Devil Fruit and you can do a weird thing now.
Yeah,
but it's like. This is where like the hard rules and like showing you how like they're different like starts to come into play.
There's now like subcategories and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that is true. You eat a devil fruit, you can now do a weird thing, but it's just like what kind of weird thing it is that what kind of devil fruit it is that matters.
Yes. Yeah. As I recall, there are three types.
There are. There is the paramecia, which is the you can do some kind of thing. You're a wacky kind of guy. You can chop yourself up into pieces. You can stretch like a rubber band.
Yeah, that's the one where it's like...
Other.
Yeah, much. If it doesn't fit in A or B, it's C.
Yeah.
Because the other two are really specific.
The other two are really specific. Because there's Zoan, which is you turn into an animal.
Okay.
And then there is Logia. I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced, but that's where Logia. You become an element.
Okay.
You got like the embodiment of something?
Yeah. But the thing about One Piece's power system, the devil
fruit. So would the flower fruit that Nico Robin has, which one would that be?
Paramecia.
Paramecia, yeah.
Because she sprouts limbs from different things.
Yeah, she doesn't literally become flowers.
Yeah.
It's more like, some of them are, I'm sorry, I'm making a handbook because that's how she uses her powers. Yeah. She crosses her arms over all her chest style. For some reason. It's never really made clear. But it's like, yeah, she doesn't like, it's the flower fruit, but more in that, like, the concept of the, you know, you're
because
growing.
She sprouts things. Stuff. She can sprout limbs out of anywhere, conceivably. The only problem is that they are definitely her limbs. So, like, conceivably, she gets you in a hold and you stab one of the arms. She's been stabbed now.
Yeah, it sucks. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the hard rules. Speaking of, when we meet her is just as we're leaving Whiskey Peak. Because Miss All Sunday just appears
during her cowboy phase.
Yeah, she's at this point. She's got a lot of Dolly Parton in her style. Later, she wears like an all white like rock and roll outfit with a cowboy hat.
Oh hell yeah!
But Miss All Sunday just shows up on their boat and is identified as like, oh, she's like second in command at this at the Baroque Works organization. She's probably here to kill all of us. And at this point, they treat her like a Jedi. They don't show, like, her hand sprouting out of things.
Oh, wow.
It's just, like, Zoro's like, I can't pull my sword out. And Sanji, like, falls and can't, like, get back up. And they're like, what power is this? And she's like, don't worry, I'm not here to murder you. I hear you guys are, like, doing a whole fucking thing and you want to come to Alabasta and you want to fight and it's going to be a whole thing. And I kind of want to help you, like, get that over with as fast as possible. So here's an eternal log post that takes you right to Alabasta.
Oh, wow. How convenient.
And Luffy smashes that shit right in front of her.
Oh, man. Oh, man, like, boy, Luffy.
Luffy is literally, you are not the boss of me. This is One Piece. And at One Piece, we watch the intro, we watch the outro, and we stay for the commercials. I go where the log pose takes me randomly.
Oh, man.
You're not in charge of where my boat goes. I'm in charge of where my boat goes.
What a Chad.
This
what
is a Chad. This is a consistent feature with Luffy is multiple times throughout the series, people offer to give him like the answer or like show him the way to make something easier, like to make his journey easier. And he just instantly refuses because he's just like, no, the whole point is the fucking journey.
Every time he gets this,
he's like, it's press the adventure. X
pretty based.
Yeah. If you get the press X to skip, Luffy will never hit that X.
Yeah, no, Luffy not into using cheat codes.
No, not at all.
I like it. It's integrity.
Ironically, that is also one of the reasons that he at like before the time skip thinks that he gets everyone killed, because part of the time skip is everybody getting teleported away. But Luffy doesn't know that. As far as he knows, one of the deadliest men in the world is touching his friend, his friend is being disintegrated.
Yeah, they're just gone.
Oh, brutal.
And then he does it all, just one after another, and Luffy's like, no, please, I can save at least one of them. And he's like, no, you cannot. And then he gets the next one, nothing he could do about it. Hilarious.
Sad.
Very sad. He cried so hard.
Which, he's not important for right now, but Kuma... To give you another example of a weird-ass fucking devil fruit, the pawpaw fruit.
Yeah. You guys mentioned this in a previous episode. Yeah.
Another Permessia, which is just like, why does that do that? Who can say?
It gives you like paw pads on your hands, and then your ability, you can now push anything in any kind of way. Like, you can push all the damage out of a man, is one of the things he does. You can push all of the, like, tiredness out of a person. But also, you can just push them, quote, where they need to go. And then they just teleport away.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, One Piece.
It's really weird and cool, though,
how
he uses it. Because it's like, his anime teleport behind you is he just touches, he pushes himself.
Yeah.
He just, he's right behind you now.
Oh, like, wow.
It's a pretty good pretty move. Cool.
But he's not really important. That was just a, like, Permessia are weird.
He'll matter a lot later, but, like, as far as, like, Paramecia is just one of, like, the weirdest fucking things. We're going to get another weird one in this episode. This episode or next one, because there's also Wapple that we're going to be getting to.
Oh, yeah. I remember you guys talked about Wapple in a previous episode.
But
Munch,
very weird man.
But first, we have to go to Little Garden. Little Garden is one of the islands that did not look like it mattered very much immediately, but it planted a lot of seeds.
It's, yeah. So, it's random fucking island with these random guys, air quotes guys, on it.
Yeah.
Then, how many chapters? Like 800 or something? Those guys were really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
It's nuts every time, man.
In fact, so, like, they go to this island, and, like, they pretty much spread out to, like, try to get, like, supplies and stuff. And different groups of them meet these two giants, Dory and Broggy.
Dory and Broggy.
Who are they're literally called the Red Oni and Blue Oni of...
Oh, good.
They were the...
I love that trope.
Two partner captains of the giant pirates, who were an incredible... They were a scourge on the seas 100 years ago. They haven't been a scourge for a long time, because for the past 100 years, Dory and Broggy have been beating the shit out of each other on this island. Every time that the volcano in the middle of the island goes off, they just go and fight until they literally cannot anymore, because they have, like... They're dueling for a reason. Unfortunately, it's been 100 years, and it was probably petty. But they can't back down.
Oh, man. That logic.
A warrior's pride.
And this affects Usopp deeply.
Yeah.
Usopp essentially has like a religious experience at this time.
Oh, man. Oh, honey.
Because basically, you know, I think most people's reaction is like, it's stupid as hell.
Yeah.
But then once they, I forget which one of them explains that to him. About how, like, we don't know what we're fighting about anymore, but, like, we still gotta do it, you know?
Yeah.
Until one of us wins, and Usopp's just like, that's so manly.
It's the manliest thing I've ever heard of.
God, you guys are so cool.
That's awesome.
But it's like a dinosaur island as well. There's, like, a Jurassic Park element to this.
Oh, man, holy shit.
And Nami is like, well, this has all been fun and terrifying. By the way, they're giants. They're, like, 50 feet tall.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
They're, like, hold you in the palm of their hand easily. Nami is ready to go, however.
Yeah, I would be too.
And they're like, well, buckle in, because this island actually takes a year for the log post to figure out.
Oh.
It won't lead anywhere else for a year. So, partly, like, Luffy and them, I don't think they really care or know. Nami has started to, like, spiral a little bit here.
Oof.
And over the course of they're there for like a day. Over the course of the day, they see the giants go to battle until exhaustion and then fuck off. And then because they come back together and they're all like, oh, these giant guys are cool. They're like, well, we want to party with them, but they like hide on opposite sides of the island until the volcano goes off. So, okay, well, half of us will go to him, half of them will go to them. And they like bring rum, because these guys have only been drinking seawater and eating dinosaurs and shit. Like, that'll be like a welcome, like, little surprise for them. Which is also
they give them each a barrel or a couple barrels, and it's like a shot glass.
Yeah, it's a shot.
Oh, man.
Like, they're just like, ah, this is great shit. Like,
wonderful after not having it for so long. And then Dory's stomach explodes and he pukes up a bunch of blood.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we're going to be introduced to, you remember the Baroque Works, the secret pseudo-governmental organization that's trying to kill the Straw Hats?
Oh.
They're there.
Remember one of them was a bomb guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, Mr.
Did he make the booze bomb?
He made the booze into bomb somehow.
Oh, no.
He filled it with bomb juice.
I think he put boogie bombs in it or something?
Something.
Yeah.
What's important is we get to meet the new characters, Mr. Three and Miss Golden Week. The reason that I think that they really matter is because this is the arc where we actually get a little bit of, like, how you use your power matters. Having a power is like, one thing, but being good at it is a whole other.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Three's power is he can make wax. He can make and control wax that he emanates from his body. He can harden this wax to the hardness that he chooses, up to and including, like, the hardness of iron.
Oh, wow.
And he is just like a shapeshifter with it. It's really good. He actually catches everybody. All of the Straw Hats except for Luffy get caught.
He just waxes them?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Huh? He just, once he gets you, you're got. And nobody can break through metal yet because they haven't gotten to the Alabaster.
Yeah, they're too weak. Okay.
And Mr. Three.
Except for Sanji. Sanji has been off doing fuck all else. He has not interacted with the Giants at all.
I was just going to say Mr. Three has quite the appearance.
Yeah. So you know this secret organization?
Yeah.
How do you think a man who is codenamed Mr. Three ought to dress?
I don't know,
his hair specifically.
Like a suit, and then maybe like he has like three strands or something, or like a three tufts or something.
That's a pretty good guess.
That's a great guess, and very subtle. Now let's say if we eliminated the need for subtlety completely psychologically from this individual.
I don't know, man, just tell me.
It's a giant three top knot on his head.
Oh. Okay.
As tall as his head, by the way. It's a giant number three.
Bless you, Oda. Bless you.
The Arabic numeral three.
Yeah.
That's fine. This is fine.
And, because is he wax or is he candle?
It's Doru Doru. I don't know what that translates to. But what he does is make wax.
Well, just because it's whenever he uses it, the tip of his fucking three top knot.
It does light on
ignites.
Fire. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like a candle.
Huh.
That might be part of it. I hadn't really considered that.
Just a weird. It's like not important, but yeah. It fucking happens.
He's definitely not a Logia light user. He isn't wax. He can make and control it, because if you punch him in the face, as he quite often does get punched in the face in this, his face is just punched.
Yeah. Okay.
When they actually use their powers, it is because these guys Mr. Three and Miss Golden Week have, like, decided, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to bring a bunch of money in for the organization because those two giants are still, like, wanted fugitives. We're going to bring them in to claim their bounty. We're going to kill the Straw Hats. It's going to be great. And then he catches, like, almost all the Straw Hats except for Luffy and Sanji and in horrible wax. Luffy is trying to convince one of the giants who has exploded organs.
Oh, man.
He's like, hey, you need to sit down.
And yeah.
And then the volcano goes off, so it's time for him to duel again.
Oh,
and fuck. Luffy is like, well, I mean, obviously this is extenuating circumstances. And he's like, you don't understand anything.
A warrior's honor.
And Luffy's like, I get it. But like, there's other things happening right now. We don't want this duel to just be a murder.
And also, very understandably, which giant is it? God, I can't.
Dory.
Presumes they have betrayed him.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
they
you poisoned me with bombs.
Yeah, they
did you tiny the little thing man
that drink that yeah. The Straw Hats did.
Yeah.
Because how would he know otherwise? And so he's like, I'll kill you, and like trying to like you know swat at them as he's like got like
so Luffy eternally. Luffy does take him out for a second. He knocks him out, which is important because at this point in the story, they are like 800 chapters of plot development stronger. The Straw Hats stand no chance against these giants, unless, as has happened, they spent the day fighting to exhaustion twice and then having their organs exploded.
Yeah.
At that point...
Pretty big handicap.
At that point, Luffy was able to knock him down. And then, in response to being knocked down, he grabs Luffy and grabs this skull that you're supposed... Everyone assumed it was a mountain. And he picks it up and just wedges Luffy under it, and then is like, I have to go duel right now. I understand that maybe you guys weren't the ones who did this, but I still have to do this. And then the obvious happens, where they're dueling, and it's not going very well for old Dory.
No.
And then Mr. Three interferes again, and makes like a slick on the ground of his wax, and Dory slips, and then Broggy capitalizes, cuts him down with his axe.
Oh, man.
The winner has been declared. And then, using the powers of that guy just fought to exhaustion three times in a day, they knock his ass down and, like, hold him down with all the fucking iron-strong wax that he has been producing for exactly this. This has been the plan of Mr. Three all along.
Oh, man. The dastard.
Now, Luffy shows up at this point, having gotten out from under the skull, and reminds everybody that if Zoro was not, like, fully... Like, you didn't get him off guard. And if Sanji was here, this wouldn't even be a fight. I'm a main character, and your name is Mr. Three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at your hair.
Look at your hair right now.
Mid-boss.
Yeah. And that is when Luffy gets the very real, like, reality check of how good you need to be at using your powers. Because as soon as he starts trying to fight Mr. Three and free his friends, who are trapped in, like, a giant candle fountain made out of, like, iron hard wax that, like, up to their ankles.
God bless.
And, like, hot wax is misting down on them slowly and covering them and hardening to as hard as iron, and it's going to turn them into statues. Oh, no. It's going to be a horrible death. Zoro, thinking quickly, is like, I'll cut off my legs.
Oh, what? Okay.
And he starts hacking.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
To which, every time, one of the reasonable people is just like, what are you doing? He's just like, we don't have time to think. And she's like, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
We're trapped.
What are you doing? Yeah.
We don't have time to cut our legs off is what we don't have time for. But,
It's funny.
Luffy's about to take that shit out, and then he does his, like, gum gum, and then he just smashes his hands into the ground immediately. On a big red mark. Because Miss Golden Week's power is painting. She paints a red mark, you have to attack that.
Oh, shit.
Or you have to get rid of it. If she makes a green mark, it makes you, like, laugh uncontrollably while you're on it. Stops you in your tracks.
Oh, man.
And she does things like she paints it on the back of his shirt, and, like, until that gets burned off of him by Usopp accidentally hitting him with friendly fire. Until that happens, he's done. Luffy is just not able to fucking fight it, like...
Oh, wow.
And their powers are garbage. Like, painting and wax. And it's only when, like, Luffy becomes, like, aware of all this and is, like, ready to fight them, they pull out, like... By the way, that was us sort of fucking around. You want to know what their real move is? He builds a wax mech that she paints with superpowers.
That's pretty sick.
So, I don't know if we went over it, but the whole Miss and Mr. pairings, the idea is that their devil fruits are complementary.
Yeah.
That adds up.
So it's like they have like a synergistic effect. So it's like even if like one of them or both of them are like conceptually kind of shitty, it's like you work
working together.
You make a mech out of wax and have your painter chick paint it with superpowers.
They can't attack certain parts. They have to attack other parts. It's a really good move. It's so good that he beats the shit out of Luffy briefly.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And he conceptually, like, they show, like, later, he is not strong enough to be fighting anybody, really. He gets the shit whipped out of him as soon as, like, they figure out the fix. Which I think Usopp does, because he has, like, a fire star where he'll shoot, like, a little inflammatory explosive.
Sick.
This also happens a lot in One Piece, where they're struggling with something so hard, and then all of a sudden someone's just like, wait a minute. He's made of wax, right?
Yeah.
Chew the fire star.
If we heat it up and then it melts, it melts just as easy as regular wax.
Oh, there you go.
It's just hard.
Yeah, there you go.
Everyone is saved immediately, and Zoro is like, I'm glad I...
get it hot enough.
Yeah. And Zoro is thankfully... He's thankful that he didn't fully cut his legs off yet. He got through quite a bit of leg, but he didn't quite finish the job.
Really?
Yeah.
He, like, basically... all but turns to Nami and is just like, maybe you had a point, I guess.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. What a dumbass. Holy
honestly,
shit.
What essentially happens at the end there is Zoro turns to Nami and is like, you don't know it yet, Nami, but we're both going to be just out sick for this next arc.
There you go.
Because that's what happens.
I just hacked my leg off.
Because my legs are in shambles right now. And then, by the way, Sanji this whole time, they have not seen him since they like first got here. Because the first thing that happened was Sanji and Zoro were like, oh, we need to get supplies here. Oh, there are dinosaurs? That's a lot of meat. And then they're like, I'll get the bigger one. And he's like, as if. And then they go off in different directions.
Yep.
And Sanji, dragging around like a Tyrannosaurus carcass, is like, I'm going to win the fucking contest, but I'm lost in this Jurassic Park.
Looking here.
Until he finds a little hut.
Oh.
Made out of wax.
Oh.
And inside there's tea and cookies.
Oh.
And he's like, this is great. I love the jungle. It's so wonderful here. And then there's a telephone in there. There's a snail telephone they have.
Oh, shit ass.
And somebody calls it, and he's like, sure, whatever. Hello? He doesn't know what he's doing, so he's just like, welcome to the shitty restaurant. Can I get your order? And the guy's like, Mr. Three, are you being funny right now? This is your commander, Mr. Zero. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just doing a funny bit.
I love the cutaways, too, because Mr. Zero is like, what's the Inspector Gadget villain? The Claw.
The Claw,
the Claw?
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. They're treating him exactly
like that. He is all but the Claw in these scenes. Because he's just in shadow.
Yeah.
Like, and just... has like a, well, if you watch the anime, he's got like a super deep, like you know that
the deepest voice they could get,
that real voice. You know, Japanese like diaphragm, like, you know, deep voice. Ooh, yeah. He's got one of those. Okay,
good.
And then he's just like sinister,
and
it's pretty good.
The course of the conversation is, did you finish the job? Are the Straw Hats dead? And he's like, all dead. No need to send anyone after him. They're all dead. And he's like, that's good. I'll send the unluckies there to check. And he's like, you don't have to do anything like that. And he's like, no. When I send them, they'll have the eternal pose for you guys to go to Alabasta. So it'll be fine. And that's how you'll get home. You remember that, right? How I gave you an eternal pose to Little Garden and you need another one to get back? And he's like, of course I remember our arrangement. I'm Mr. Three.
God bless.
Forget about it. And the Unlucky show up.
That's the
Otter and Vulture. And
with the cameras and sunglasses. Yeah.
And they pull guns on Sanji right away. And Sanji reminds...
They're strapped.
Yeah. There's Gatling guns on that vulture.
Oh, man. Holy shit.
Unfortunately, Sanji is stronger than most otters and overwhelmingly more vultures. So he kicks them to death pretty handily.
Oh, man. Oh, no. R.I.P.
We don't see him again. I don't know if they're dead, but they're not coming back.
Oh, man.
Maybe we see him again, and I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Just kicking the animals.
But throughout
to death.
This arc of Baroque Works, not at all.
Real shit, don't fuck with vultures.
No. They're gigantic.
More so because...
They're basically toxic.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Because they're...
Most of the carrion eaters. Can't let them bite you.
The pH of their stomach acid is literally like the lowest it can be.
Bones and hooves.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can eat literally anything and be fine.
Yeah,
and
it's like battery acid in there.
They can also spit it. So
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That's a weapon right there.
Why isn't that in Pokemon?
Don't get close to vultures. Anyway, that was just a PSA, okay? Vultures ain't nothing to fuck with. Okay. That stomach acid, that's like a superpower. It's some real shit.
Well, if you kick him to death, apparently, they can't do much. And then, by the way, he's still on the phone when that happens.
Yeah.
And Crocodile's like, what was that? And he's like, it was one of the Straw Hats. I thought they were dead, but now they're definitely dead. He's like, you didn't check before you reported that they were all dead. One of them was still alive, and he's like, it was just a little oopsie daisy.
Oh, man.
But they're all dead now, definitely. No,
it's the classic, like, so imagine the Claw, but he's holding like a whiskey glass.
Yeah,
like,
crushes it. Yeah.
Did you just give me a false report?
Yeah. And then Sanji's like, I gotta go right now. I gotta go meet for those unluckies you told me about. I love you. Goodbye. And he hangs up.
We gotta go. Forget about it. And then,
Crocodile then turns to like the person next to him and is like, so whenever Mr. Three shows up, we're gonna kill him. Tell Mr. Two to just go find and kill Mr. Three.
Oh, man.
Because he gave me a false report, and that deserves to be murdered about. And that's when we get our introduction to one of the all-timers, Mr. Bon Clay. Mr. Mrs. Bon Clay. That's who it matters.
Oh, man.
The Okama King Queen? I think Queen, technically, by the end. Literally, becomes Queen of a nation.
No, Ivanko's the... Okama Queen.
She left to go be with the revolutionaries again.
at this.
So in the prison.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not around.
Doesn't matter. That's way ahead shit. Bonclay is coming. He dresses like a flamboyant flamingo, Swan Lake kind of thing. And he's one of the best, and Bonclay rules.
If you don't know what an Okama is, it's like hard to explain.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's not going to come up yet.
Google we'll it on peril.
We'll get to that much, much later. Because the next thing that happens is everyone gets back onto their boat, and the giants help them escape the island because they forgot to mention that when most people who come here, they die because it takes like a year for like the log post to set.
Yeah, and the dinosaurs just fucking eat
you. The dinosaurs eat you,
generally. Yeah, that's like wow.
And those who make
it. There's a volcano that erupts multiple times a day.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah. And then the people who do leave don't typically make it because right out, like leaving, there is an island-sized goldfish that will eat you.
Oh, fuck.
And the...
Don't fuck with the Grand Line.
Oh, fuck. I don't remember that.
The giants actually, they break their own weapons doing an attack to knock the ship through the fish so that they kill the giant fish. And they fly off into the sunset.
Oh, fun.
Yay. And the giants are like, no. And then the volcano goes off and the giants are like, I guess it's time for us to take another crack at it. And they're like, just laughing about it now.
Wait, so he didn't axe the other one dead?
Nope, he lived.
He was fucked up, but... okay. You know, they're super Chad giant dudes.
He thought that he did.
Okay, well, shit.
The end of the thing is he just gets up like, oh! And they're like, and he's like, oh, thank God I didn't kill you. I didn't realize there was cheating involved.
It's because, like, at some point, he... It's like after Mr. Three, you know, like you know, traps him or whatever, he has the whole, like... Oh, he was wounded. It wasn't a fair duel.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he actually cares about.
Yeah.
It's very silly. But then the giants can do a Kamehameha wave if they swing their axe or sword hard enough.
Sick. So that is just a regular technique in One Piece, because that's something that Zoro starts doing.
I get.
That's the 36-pound phoenix.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a really interesting name.
It just keeps going up in weight.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's stronger.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
108 pounds means he's using all three swords to do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's cool, though.
Yeah, that's sick, yeah.
It's just the, you know, the classic, like, I cut from afar somehow.
Yeah. So, while they're leaving, Zoro is, like, stapling his feet back on.
And, God bless, dude. What a fucking idiot.
And Nami is like, whew, she's feeling a little bit off.
Which, you know, Zoro stapling himself together. They don't have a doctor.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a real problem.
Oh, baby.
In fact, it's such an incipient problem that their navigator has a 104-degree fever of jungle plague.
Oh, no.
And, they also get in the newspaper, they get the news that Alabasta... the country that Vivi is from, and they're trying to get her back to stop Crocodile Mr. Zero from doing his plan. They're on the cusp of a civil war. They have like days before that could be like the case. They need to get there ASAP. And Nami is like, don't worry about me. Just get us to Alabasta. I won't die. I'm just a little under the weather. And everyone, by the way, at this point has turned away from her. Like, Nami is obviously dying.
Yeah.
She's the closest to death that any of us have been, and some of us have almost cut our legs off yesterday. So.
Feeling pretty called out.
It's.
She has Zoro stapling his foot on. He's like, yeah, she looks really bad.
Yeah. So they decide to go to the next best place that they can. The next island that they see, they're just going to steer right towards, regardless of where the log post tells them, because they need to get a fucking doctor.
Yeah.
And according to the map, there's an island nearby called Drum Island that has doctors. And on their way there, a gigantic fucking submarine erupts from the sea.
Oh, shit ass.
And invades on their ship, and there's a bunch of, like, I don't know, like huge heavy winter coat wearing soldiers with Kalashnikovs, basically. And one guy, King Wapple, shows up and he just starts eating their ship.
Oh, fuck.
Just biting huge chunks out of the wood.
Oh, man.
And,
oh, no.
Like, swallowing one of their cannons.
Yeah, because the munch fruit, like, he his mouth will, like, cartoonishly, like, distend and get big, and he just like, he can bite, like, a house.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Oh, he bites houses.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
To be an asshole.
Yeah.
Really, at one point.
And then his other powers, he can then, take on the form of the things that he's eaten. And then his power that we see later is that he can, like, become a munch factory, where he combines things that he eats.
Yes.
And then shoots them out.
Yes.
And he does this with two of his guys.
Oh, man. That's interesting.
Yeah, they just like Voltron. He eats them, but it's basically a Voltron, like...
Their outfits seem to be more fused than they do, because Chopper, who does have medical training, identifies them as doing a piggyback thing.
Oh, wow.
Because it's just one guy's head on top of the other and their forearms. Conceivably, they're just piggybacking with a specialized outfit.
That's hilarious.
But we get to Drum Island looking for a doctor because of this jungle plague. And as soon as like the Wapol shows up, Luffy kicks him into the distance, because Wapol isn't strong like that. He's more of like government strong. He's got a good power, but not a good power to not get kicked in off like a Team Rocket thing. And everybody just bails. Like all the enemies bail, because they're like, oh, our king! And they just go on, and they're like, that was weird.
That was weird.
And we get to...
Yeah, it's treated like, what a dick.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
what a weird dick.
Yeah. And it's like, anyway.
they get to the port of the island, and like everybody is there, but they are not there to welcome them. They are literally like, please turn around and fuck off, eternally, pirates. We know you're pirates. Yeah. You are not welcome. And Luffy is like, We need a doctor. This is important. And the head of the militia is immediately like, that could be a lie. We don't know you. Please fuck off. Our country is brand new. We don't have a name yet. We're still in the middle of shit with that. So please fuck off. And then Luffy at first is like ready to like, all right, well, it's time to beat ass and find a doctor. Until he eventually comes to the conclusion that I guess I have to beg, because like that's the only way that I could show that I'm sincerely not going to just pirate them.
Yeah.
And that works, and they're like, fine, you can stay for a doctor, but like we only have one. And at this point we get like everybody starts to split up, because Zoro stays on the ship because
he ain't got no legs,
and like they aren't welcome in this town.
No.
Yet, really.
So you don't want a swordsman walking around,
yeah,
just scaring people.
Zoro's just on the boat, lifting impossibly big dumbbells.
Yeah,
with like his feet and shit.
Big cartoon dumbbells.
But his feet are sawed off, and he's still lifting.
You don't understand how tough he is.
Oh my god, dude!
This isn't real life.
All right,
powering through injuries makes you stronger in anime. Don't do that in real life. But
yeah.
God bless.
So they welcome them into town, and they give them some backstory about what's going on. So our country has no name right now. It used to be Drum Kingdom, but that was when King Wapol was in charge. He was a weird dictator man, and he took the entire government and left because this small group of pirates showed up, led by Dun dun dun, Blackbeard.
Oh,
this is our first introduction to Blackbeard, and this arc will also be our first introduction to Ace. I don't know if we have time for me to go too into this arc. I'm gonna hit the important bits.
Okay.
There's also like a 140-year-old woman who's like the only doctor on this town left because, when the king took all the government, he also, like, his plot that, like, made people eventually, like, lose completely faith in their government was he took all of the doctors and moved them into his castle. So if you wanted medical treatment, you had to, like, come to him directly.
Oh, man.
Which Drum Kingdom was renowned for its doctors, mm-hmm. medical science. Just mainly why he took them. They're gonna work on me.
Yeah.
Which is helpful because he often finds himself in fights that he cannot win. And he needs to have things... He needed his head sewn back on at one point.
Brutal. I guess that's a thing you can do in One Piece.
There's some level of cybernetics available in One Piece, but only for like people who are like fully knowledgeable doctors.
Okay.
It's not fully cartoon logic. You're either that tough or somebody has that much like
science. Under their belt. Okay. Yeah.
So the story of Chopper, who we really get to meet here, he's a reindeer who was born with the most hideous blue nose that anyone could imagine, I guess. I didn't feel like it looked that bad, but apparently it led to all the other reindeer like being like, we have to leave this one to die.
So he's just Rudolph?
He's
Wow.
And then randomly, while being a fucking reindeer, he eats devil fruit, the human fruit.
Huh.
And then he gets adopted by this guy, Dr. Hiraluk. Dr. Hiraluk is known to be a quack doctor. And we get introduced to him escaping from a patient's home that he accidentally burned down in treatment.
Oh, shit.
Breaking into someone else's home to treat them, accidentally poisoning them with the wrong treatment.
Oh, fuck.
And then escaping once again.
And quite then, the hack.
And then...
He means well.
Yeah, he means well, though. He just doesn't know much about being a doctor. And but he does see, just outside of town, what's this, some sort of... There's a man out here who's been shot because Chopper had been run from the town once he became like a human-y monster man. And he walked, he's like, maybe the humans will accept me. They would not.
Oh, man.
Well, it's because, like, you know, when he's hybrid, he's like a giant-ass, like...
He's more of a Bigfoot than a man.
Yeah, like, and so it's, this is like... Like tundra, like island. So he comes walking up, you know, to the village, and it's that's a yeti. Blah blah blah. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, poor guy.
But he takes Chopper in and is able to even like convince him to trust him somewhat because he's like, I would never hurt you. I'll never shoot at you. I'm a doctor. That's like, that means that I would never do that. And he takes care of him for like a year, and he tells him of the story of a rich thief from the far west with a disease of their heart. And no doctor could treat it. And when the thief was frustrated and nearing the end of his life, he climbed a certain mountain, and at the top, he saw the blooming of cherry blossoms. And when he returned, his disease was magically cured. The medical mystery of being cured by the beauty and wonder of the world inspired him. And now, he carries a pirate flag with a skull and crossbones with cherry blossoms. And he knows that no disease is incurable. There are still mysteries of the body we don't know. After a year of treatment, Chopper is ready to go to be discharged. And we have the classic scene of, yes, he runs him out like, get out of here!
No.
Don't you see? But it's not because...
Go back to where you belong.
Yeah. But it's not because Chopper has to go to somewhere else for his own sake. It's because Dr. Hiraluk wants to hide. He's dying.
Aww.
And he has days left. He goes to Dr. Kureha, the 140-year-old woman who is probably the best doctor that we've seen in One Piece. I mean, she's 140, probably by no accident.
A lot, yeah.
Which, by appearances, we're led to believe her secret to longevity is alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Constantly just chugging her own bottle.
Yeah. She has a very youthful figure and a very old face. But, good Lord, does she drink. And he goes to visit her, and she's like, well, this isn't a virus or bacteria. There's no cure for what you have. You're going to die, and it's going to be soon. And he asks if she would take care of Chopper. That boy, he's got good in him. He could be a fine doctor.
Aww.
Unfortunately, the blood cough, it's got me. And he can't. And she asks him, why don't you just go back out west, go find the cherry blossoms again? Because he was the famous thief from the flashback.
Aww.
Oh. And he's like, oh, there's nothing that I can do about this one. I know that this is it. This is the end. I have to continue trying to work on my version of the cure that he's been trying to invent for all these years. And Tony Chopper, he hears all this from outside, knowing that he wasn't truly chased away. but his father is dying. And he goes out and he goes to the medical books and he finds a mushroom that he knows must be a cure-all. And he goes through the highest mountains of Drum Peak and even has to face his old family, and they want nothing to do with his ass. They try to murder him right away.
Oh,
the
man.
Reindeer, they're not trying to have a Bigfoot. They try to run him off.
There's also bunny yetis.
There are bunny yetis.
Oh, I don't like bunny yetis.
They're pretty... I mean, they...
they're not great.
Yeah. If you're not a main character, they've got your ass. They're,
oh.
Yeah. It's like if a bear could do kung fu at you.
Oh, shit.
And fuck. Snowboard.
Oh, fuck.
But he eventually is able to get to the top of the mountain, and he gets this mushroom, and he comes home, and he's beaten bloody, and even his antler's broken off, and the doctor patches him up, and he is like, you got this mushroom all on your own? That's incredible. And they make a soup out of it, and he drinks it, and he's like, oh, it's terrible. But, you know, that means it's good medicine. That means it's going to work. And he's like, extremely nice, Chopper, but I need you to just stay here while I go check on something. Because he says that he's heard that the king is very sick, but more importantly, all of the doctors are sick. Up in the castle, they need to all be like quarantined. They're all sick. He's a doctor. He has to go help them. And he runs off to go do that. And Chopper is like, I'm the greatest doctor the world's ever seen. This is great. I've saved him. Until Dr. Kureha shows back up and is like, where is he going? And Chopper's like, he's going to go do the thing. And I cured him. He's fine. And he explains the mushroom. And she says, Chopper, what do you think this symbol on the page here means? And he's like, the skull and crossbones? The doctor said that that's the symbol that he adopted after he got that cure-all. So obviously the skull and crossbones symbol means that it's healthy for you.
Oh, fuck.
It is the deadliest mushroom on this island.
Oh,
he baby. Will be dead in an hour.
Oh, Chopper.
And Chopper's like, that's not true. He wouldn't... why would he lie about that? And she's like, because he was already dying and he didn't want to hurt your feelings, you asshole.
Oh, man. Oh, poor baby.
And Chopper tries to run because he's so...
You guys keep saying One Piece is full of tragic backstories. God damn.
It is, right?
God damn, he poisoned his daddy.
It's so sad. And in order to get to the king, you need to, like, either climb a mountain or there's, like, these rope lines that, like, have, like, a taxi service. But almost all of them are destroyed by now. And he, like, holds the driver at gunpoint, like, you're going to take me to the top of the mountain. I've got to save those doctors. And he John Wicks up there and into the front courtyard where there is an army of dudes waiting with guns.
Oh.
You see, King Wapol had gotten pretty fucking tired of this quack doctor and needed to flush him out. And Dr. Hiraluk is like, so this was all just a trap? And they're like, that's right. And he's like, oh, thank God. Do you know how bad it would be if every doctor on the island was sick? I could have really hurt those men.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But, like, he's relieved by it. And he sits down and he pours himself a drink. And he thinks in his head, this is perfect. Don't you worry, Chopper. It isn't bullets that kill a man. It's not a poison mushroom soup. It's when he's forgotten. And I know that you're going to do great. And then as all the men are taking aim to shoot at him, he uses the most doctorly thing of all. A suicide bomb. He explodes.
Oh, fuck.
Because he didn't want his son to be the one that
killed him. Aw.
Isn't that nice? And then Chopper runs in like, no! And he gets turned away by Dalton, is the like guy that the subplot of everything's about. And he turns into like half an ox man to like wrestle him to the ground and be like, you gotta get out of here, kid. And,
Because like Chopper tries to like monster out basically.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'll kill them. And then like dude like tackles just him. Just like, he's like, look, okay, like they will kill you. Like you need to like get
out of here. Yeah.
Like, or else like he died for nothing.
Reindeer.
You're just a reindeer with a little blue nose. You don't know. And because Dalton did that, he was basically excommunicated from the king and like thrown into a prison cell until eventually they...
Yeah, for being a good guy.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Not King Wapple's court.
No. And then they all bailed when Blackbeard showed up, and he sort of became like a de facto captain of the militia there. And this story is essentially Luffy climbs the mountain carrying Nami, and it's a horrible fucking climb. And also Sanji, because Sanji was just going to help him climb the mountain, and then there was an avalanche, and Sanji's back just fully just broke.
Holy fuck, and everyone's getting taken out.
Yeah, and so like the Luffy has to like carry everybody to the top of the mountain, and he has like, he put on a coat because it's so cold. But he's wearing shorts and flip-flops, and he had to, like, reuse his coat to make, like a papoose to hold on to two people while climbing a mountain. So he's essentially just, like, in a tank top and flip-flops.
Freezing to death.
Climbing a mountain. And he gets to the top, and the doctor's able to save him. And also informs him, like, yeah, you probably, you guys would have died. Nami definitely would have died. Sanji's back broke, and she had to, like, save his ass. Like, they were going to die out there. Luckily, everything's fine. And then Wapple shows back up, and he's like, I'm here to take over my castle again. And Luffy basically has to get, like, a night of sleep. And then he comes back out, and almost all of this fight is Wapple being like, pirates are losers, and so is that quack doctor. And Luffy, and that reindeer is ugly, a monster. And Luffy's like, that reindeer is a super cool monster, actually. And pirates rule.
Yeah. You tell him, Luffy.
And then, like, basically they start fighting, and then from there, like, Wapple's thing is just like, but, aha, I can do this other thing with my mouth. Like, yeah. He just keeps cycling through like different dumb bullshit.
He's got really good powers, and then his Super Saiyan move is he swallows himself.
What?
And that resets his body to like factory settings, I guess, because now he's like thin and fast.
Oh shit!
He's no longer like a big fat guy, and Luffy is like, that's also fine because he just like he hits him like with his arms stretched so far that they do like a perspective shot. Like, he's fully, like, in the background now.
That's awesome.
And he knocks his ass into space again. It wasn't a hard
Team
fight.
Team Rocket. Okay. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Zoro showed back up briefly, but his legs were very mutilated slightly.
Oof.
And also, this is one of those low-stakes arcs where, like, Luffy pretty much had it. Yeah. He's good.
The thing they were fighting was illness.
Yeah.
It's like, Drum Island is vaguely like Eastern European / like Russian coded. And like in that same respect, it's like the thing that did the most damage to the Straw Hats was the island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they went through what we went through trying to like cross that river and
the bunny yetis did more damage to them than fucking Wapple's crew.
Yeah.
Like
brutal.
But this arc really got us to see, like, and the last arc got us to see, like, what it means to use your devil fruits in different ways. Specifically, we also got, like, the Zoan fruit rules of, like, you have your base form, that's what you were born as. And then the devil fruit gives you that access to that animal form, whatever that is. And then you can go, like, a halfway in between, where you're, like, a wolf man or something. But Chopper is a doctor, and he has done, like, self-experimentation. And he invented the Rumble Ball. And the Rumble Ball, when he takes that, he can access four additional forms that, like, focus on, like, each part of his body.
Oh, wow.
And then we also get this as sort of, like, a clue, but, it, like, the payoff, it's just set up right now, it's not payoff yet, where he's like, I can only have, like, three in a, I can only have two in a day. If I have three, something bad happens. And they only last for 3 minutes. And it's like, huh, I wonder if that'll come up. It'll come up again. But the end of this arc is when they knock out Wapple and everything. By the way, the whole time, Chopper, his arc has been like, no one will ever accept me. I'm where I am, and that's the only place that will ever accept me is this 140-year-old doctor woman who is doing this because I'm her assistant, not because like I'm anything. And as soon as Nami met Chopper, she's like, do you want to come with us and be a pirate? And he's like, no. And she's like, it's fun.
It's pretty cool.
And he's like, you guys don't understand how it feels to be a monster. And then he runs outside to see Luffy, like, stretching his arm fully across the doorway, like, ha, look at what I can do. And Sanji's like, we got monsters too.
Oh, his fucking voice.
So he doesn't even sound like that when I'm reading him. It's only when I'm telling the story.
The four kids dub was criminal. Yeah. It was fucking criminal. You know?
And he joins them at the end, and Dr. Kureha, the 140-year-old woman, is unable to like just do like a nice goodbye. So as soon as he's like, I think I'm going to join them, she's like, you're absolutely not joining them. I forbid it.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, but you said that I could and should. And she's like, I know what I said. Don't you fucking tell me what I said. Get back over here. We got busy shit to do. And he's like, but I'm supposed to go with them today. And she's like, nonsense. And he has to like run away and sort of defy her. And they jump all onto the sleigh that he pulls, that he runs down the ropeways. That's how the doctor gets around. She doesn't use the taxis. She has him run down the ropeways pulling a sleigh. And as they're running away, like, and Luffy, by the way, is just fully like, oh, we're stealing him? Even better. That's the best way.
Piracy.
You're going to get along great here, kid. And then while they're there, he sees, by the way, that Zoro's feet are stapled back on. And he's like, you've been walking around like that?
God, that's just so fucking brutal.
Zoro's like, I've been lifting thousands of pounds of weight like this, actually.
Zoro actually, in the middle of this arc, like, decides, instead of just lifting weights, I'm going to do, like, I have heard of people going on, like, ice-cold plunges for, like, meditation reasons. I'm going to do that. And then he's swimming in the, like, frigid rivers, and he gets lost swimming and ends up, like, in town.
God bless.
But, like, he sees that and he's like, oh, I wish I had my medical bag with me because your feet are going to fall the fuck off, bro. And Nami's like, you mean this bag right here that was already in the sleigh when we came out? And he's like, but that's my own personal medical bag. How could, unless... And then she's up there just crying like, go get him, kid. Aww, I believe in you.
Good.
And then finally they're able to do something that they've been waiting to do this whole time. They couldn't get into the armory of the castle. After Wapo left, the doctor woman moved in, and that's where she's been doing all of her doctoring from. And they couldn't get into the armory. He took the key to the armory with them. But now they were able to swipe the key from him before they knocked him into the distance. And she opens it up, and there's a gigantic cannon that just... I guess it's for him to do like a Bowser and shoot at the town sometimes.
To keep them in check.
Yeah. You know, just whenever they start getting rowdy, we just point it at him and hold the match like, you want it?
Oh, man.
But they show some of the flashback of when Dr. Hiraluk, the quack doctor, when he was about to die, he said that he finished his research. This is everything that he's worked for, and he hands her this red powder, and he's like, This will be the medicine to heal this country. And she's like, that's very fascinating. Please lay down before you die. And he's like, I have to go now. He runs away. And she gets that cannon, and she points it straight up, and she loads the red powder into it and fires it. And it changes the atmosphere of Drum Island. Now the snow that falls is bright pink. It's a storm of cherry blossoms every night.
Aww.
They're no longer Drum Kingdom. They are now the kingdom, the Sakura Kingdom.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, and the like, cannon shot from the top of the castle, like, the when it was, you know, they look at it from the town, it looks like a, like, it has the shape of a tree.
Yeah.
Like a cherry blossom.
Yeah.
It's
really good.
Good visual.
I recommend all of you people read One Piece. It's not just like what I'm telling you is like the plot and some of the writing choices, but like genuinely, it's also really, really nice. And like, there's no ways that I find it to fail.
Good.
Yeah, my favorite one of the chopper being like, you don't get it. And then, because Luffy's just like, yeah, come on, you're going to be our doctor. Come with us. And he's just like, you don't know what that would mean. Like, I'm not like a human or an animal. People won't accept me. And then he's like, he's doing his whole thing. And then Luffy's just like, shut up, let's go. And then like,
yeah. Luffy doesn't find out that Chopper is also a doctor until they fully get back onto the boat.
He was just going to take him?
Yeah. He just thought he was a cool monster guy.
It's a sick ranger.
Look at this little guy. Yeah.
Luffy repeatedly, like, his reasoning is he can transform into 7 different modes. I don't get how you don't see that's the sickest shit ever.
It's pretty sick. I think it's sick.
He can transform. I want to transform. Everyone wants to transform.
It's a pretty good move.
Really, this part of the manga is where they start expanding on how the power system works, is what I want to like get across for this arc, because now we know how the Zoan fruits work, and like we know that there's exceptions to it because there's like ways that these devil fruits work. Just like, you know, you don't have to use your power to turn into smoke just to capture criminals. You can also use it to power your sick ass motorcycle.
Yes, sir.
Or a lot of people have asked the question of like, what happens if just like a guy eats the human fruit?
Yeah.
And Oda's actually answered that question. And you become a paragon of humanness.
Okay. Human.
Oh, I guess you just become human.
Which is, I think I understand what he means by that, but it's like, yeah, it would
You're just like Adonis, basically? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, so one of the...
I assumed it meant you could, like, chat out kind of like All Might, you know?
Yeah,
like how okay. He just, like, inflates.
So yeah. One of the things that, like, the plot has revealed in the later stuff is Dr. Vegapunk, his theory on, like, how devil fruits work or why they give you the powers that they do is because each one is tied to like the human desire for changing into a thing. Like it's like partially like our evolutionary drive to change and become better, but it's the ways that we project that like change it. So presumably the human fruit would be like, it doesn't turn you into a specific guy. It turns you into guy, just the way that like the guy who turns into a leopard doesn't turn into a specific leopard. He turns into the leopard. And I really like the limitations based off of like a lot of these powers. Like obviously Luffy's power changes later, but we're going to get into a little bit more of like how powers work and how to get around them and their limitations in the next one, I think, because we're going to be doing Alabasta next,
which will give us the rundown of how Logia types work.
Yeah. Because the very last thing that happens on this one is as the Straw Hats are leaving, a person comes back and is like, hey, remember me? I said that I think I had a message for one of those Straw Hats people. And they're like, yeah, you were on a panel at the start. And they're like, and then we get a flashback of a guy being like, I'm looking for this Straw Hat guy. And they're like, what do you want to know about him? And he's like, just, you know, he just is a really important guy. I need to meet him while I'm in the area. And they noticed that, like, even though this was a day on their winter island like any other, no snow would fall. It's Ace. It's Luffy's brother Ace, whose power is fire. So, yeah. And he's like, I'll be revealed in the next arc. See you later. I'm still in shadows right now.
And, fun.
Yeah, that's the end of Drum Island. Chopper is now with them.
And with that, we're going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the nature of this content, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go ahead and give me a follow on Blue Sky. And you can support us on our Patreon. I'd like to give a shout out to our aspiring Magi on our Patreon. That's going to be Uncle Maddie and Midnight Grimoire. And a big shout out to our fellow Squires, Gary Goblino and my mom.
All right. Go on, Gary Goblino and my mom.
Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.